Any views, thoughts, or opinions expressed on the Rejuvenating Health podcast are solely that of the speakers and are intended as such. Please contact your trusted medical practitioner for medical advice. Let's go, girls. Hey, ladies, welcome back to the Rejuvenating Health podcast. I'm Shauna, and as always, I'm here with women's health nurse practitioner Lindsay Van Schoik. And today on the show, we have Kayla Becker, and she is a success coach. So we're super excited to have you here today, Kayla.
Thank you, ladies, for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Of course.
So Kayla comes from our beloved and lifted family. And I know you guys have heard Bark talk and Kimberly talk, and then we had Eric and Jenny on. And so anyways, but she has a great story. So kind of tell us how you got started working as a success coach, what your background is, all that good stuff.
Awesome. So I'm actually a former teacher. I taught middle school and high school language arts for 13 years. Love teaching, love being with my students. And at some point in time, I kind of started to realize that something else was next for me, but I didn't necessarily know what it was. And then just, you know, how life would happen, it kind of landed in my lap, for lack of a better word. So several years ago, I really got into like health and mindset and am just improving my overall well-being. And I was listening to a lot of podcasts at that time. This was back in 2018. I was listening to all these podcasts about health and, you know, what you should do. And there was a lot of conversation at that time about fasting. And, you know, I really took to fasting at that time because I was a teacher, I was busy, and I didn't have much time during the day. So it seemed like a really perfect solution to me to create more time within my day by using my lunch to get stuff done and then just having more time in the evening. So it seemed like a really perfect solution to me. And I was really great at fasting, if I could say. Like, I kicked butt at fasting. I could do it, and I did it for a prolonged period of time.
So what was your window? What kind of fasting did you do?
Oh, I'd go anywhere between, like, on average, typically like 16 to 20 hours consistently. Like, I could do it days back to back. And I didn't do at that time. I had done towards the end of my fasting, I did a 5-day water fast. And it was actually during that 5-day water fast that I was like, this is actually really dangerous. Yeah. Like, I could just see my body changing.
Did you go the whole 5 days?
I went the whole 5 days. I had like some bone broth, but that was basically it. And I could see as my body was changing, as my energy levels were constantly depleting. Like, this is actually very bad, but I was so strong-willed that I was like, I'm going to make it the 5 days. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And then after this, I was like, you're not doing it anymore. Like,
yeah,
it's clearly not good for you. I lost my period during that time, but I never really connected two and two at all, because everything that I was hearing was about how great fasting was. And I will have to say, like, in hindsight, I recognize now that the conversation around fasting was always by men having the conversation and about like what was appropriate for men, right? But I never, at that point in my life, I never understood the difference between what was appropriate for men and women. Like, whether it was not in my realm of understanding, whether it wasn't part of the conversation I was part of, like, I didn't hear about it. So fast forward, I did all these fasts of this 5-day water fast. I was like, man, that was a bad idea. Like, I learned a lot about myself and I'm done with it. Fast forward to about 6 months later, I was running a half marathon, had trained for it, and I started having like a really strong pain in my left hip. And I was like, ooh, like, I must need a stretch. Like, I had no other idea of what could be wrong. So I stopped and I stretched, ran a little bit more, and it still hurt. And I remembered something I had probably read like 20 years ago. My grandma used to buy like all these magazines, and it talked about like, if you have pain, you should inhale as you're stepping with the opposite foot. So I remembered this like strange thing. So I was like, I'm going to try that. Why not? Right. So I do that, and I was like, okay, that helps a little bit. Didn't help very long. Then I like stopped. I got a drink of water, kept running. And then I stepped and I just collapsed to the ground. And I heard a pop. So I thought, oh, my hip must have popped out of place. Like, I need to see a chiropractor. Like, can somebody help me? Fast forward a couple of hours later, I'm in the ER and I had fractured my hip. But
that is nuts. So did you get osteoporosis?
You were how old?
Yes, that's what I had learned, that I had developed osteoporosis. So
and you were only how old?
32.
32, yeah.
So I went to see, like, you know, obviously they had to have surgery that day. They put a rod, put a screws in my hip, you know, fixed it, sent me on my way. Go to my family doctor and she's like, Kayla, that's not normal. And I was like,
right,
okay, like, what do you want me to do? Like, I don't know. I've been doing what I think is healthy for the last couple of years. So what do you want me to do? So she sent me to a bone specialty clinic. They did the whole scans. And when it came back, my bones were like somebody of my same stature, my same ethnicity. It was like a 9-year-old woman.
Yeah, I bet.
Like my bone was so poor that they said I had osteomalacia.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought, like, all I could think of as I was sitting in that doctor's office was like, I did it to myself. Like, I've somehow given myself this because it's not normal. And I also had this, like, suspicion that had something to do with my fasting. Maybe I'm accurate, maybe I'm not accurate. But, you know, when you're fasting that long for a period of time and you're, you know, losing fat and stuff, like, you store a lot of toxins in your body. Mm-hmm. So I was obviously getting rid of them, and it wasn't a good situation. So then I did mega dosing on vitamin D, and then I started doing some other supplementation, through holistic supplementation. And when I got scanned again, about 6 months later, a year later, actually, they couldn't even tell that I had osteomalacia at that point in time because I had made such a drastic change in my diet, my lifestyle, the supplementation, like my body really took to it because it was so lacking at that time.
Depleted, yeah.
How did you make that mind switch? Because I feel like if you fasted that long, did you have some disordered eating?
How long were you fasting? Was it years? Yeah.
No, I wasn't doing it for years. I probably started fasting probably in like the fall of 2017 through like the spring of 2018. So it was maybe about five months, but I would go on like spurts for like longer, shorter periods of time, but I would do it consistently, like several days during the week. But I have to be honest, like I honestly thought I was doing the right thing.
No, I get it.
Right. A lot of people do.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to say the names of the podcasts I listen to, but they are like well-known individuals, well-known male figures in the health industry. And they constantly were talking about it, about how great it was and about your ketones and all the things.
Yeah.
And I did what I thought was right.
Yeah. So ladies, if you think you're going to intermittent fast, go back and listen to our podcast on intermittent fasting and how if you're having a menstrual cycle, you should not intermittent fast because it disrupts your kisseptin and your estrogen. And then you end up, I mean, yours is pretty dramatic. Like, 6 months. Yeah, I would almost think that's teetering on eating disorder type stuff. You must have been really, really calorie restricted. But if you're only eating once a day in a 4-hour window, like you're not, it's going to be really hard to get more than 1200 calories, especially if you're eating healthy, which I'm sure you were. If you were doing it for health benefits, you weren't fasting and only eating a 4-hour window and eating pizza. I'm sure you were eating like lean protein and vegetables and fruit. And so you're just so undernourished.
Yeah. And that was never part of the conversation.
Right.
Like if I can just step back to what I listened about with the fasting, like that was never part of the conversation. It was always about, you know, the time that you're eating and the restricted.
Yeah. And I know you said about being like you were good at fasting, and that made me laugh because I feel like I have done intermittent fasting before, and I always felt like I was like a champ at it too. And I have to say, some people feel, whether it's, you know, good for them or not, which we obviously know it's not now, but I felt good for the most part when I was doing it. You know, I never did like a 5-day or any day length, but I felt good when I was doing it. So if you're feeling good when you're doing it, then you don't realize how detrimental it is to your body. And I think some women just don't understand because they might not feel horrible while they're doing it.
Well, you know? I mean, you should never do any type of prolonged fast without being under a medical doctor's supervision, like 3 to 5 days. Like you need to be working with a healthcare provider to do that. And there are some health benefits to it, but again, it's more studied on men or menopausal women. And some fasting is good in the meaning that you like don't eat during a 12-hour window when you're at bedtime. That's good. Mm-hmm. But fasting, I really don't recommend any more than 12-hour fasting or 14-hour fasting for women that have a menstrual cycle. You should be eating throughout the day because you're active, right?
Right.
Yeah, and like that was not part of any of those conversations. You know, there is some, and I think that makes it really hard as a consumer. And when you're wanting to do the right thing, you hear what other people are saying and you take it as kind of like the Bible, right? Like here are these individuals that have these very well-known podcasts. They clearly look healthy and well. So we think, you know, if at least I thought if it's good for them, it would be good for me too.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't until I was like doing that longer fast and just seeing the changes and feeling the changes that it actually like clicked for me. Because up until that point in time, like you said, like I was eating healthy foods during the time that I was eating, but it was, but it never clicked to me the repercussions that it was having.
Right.
And I think, we listen to social media and we listen to these podcasts, but we forget that they're a unique individual and that's what works for them. And you're a unique individual and what works for them isn't going to work for you because you're not the same person. You don't live the same life. You don't have the same hormones. You don't do all these things. And it's why you're never going to look the same way that the person on Instagram that you follow looks. Like anyone that works with us is not going to look like me. We're not the same person. We don't have the same body types. We don't have the same genetics. We don't have the same hormones and life. And so that's where people really get in trouble listening to people and taking advice instead of just working one-on-one with someone. That when you work one-on-one with someone, they can help guide you on all these things and help see that you are an individual. And so you weren't doing anything wrong. You're right. You were just listening to someone that you trusted. And it's not that they were wrong either. It's just they weren't working personally with you and monitoring you as a person and seeing maybe like if you were working with me and you said, oh, I don't have my period, I'd be like, oh gosh, you have to stop doing what you're doing right now. Like that is not good for you.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think too, you know, that conversation also goes back to at some point in time during that whole progression, I'd given away my power to someone else, assuming that they knew the answers, rather than stopping. And I think that's what happened to me. Like I was looking in the mirror and it was like that recognition. I don't see the person anymore that I know inside of me. You know, I've become somebody different. I've given my power away to somebody else and I haven't been listening to myself. And then that was suddenly like very scary for me because there was such a disconnect between what I knew internally to be right and what I thought in my head to be right, right? Like in my head, I was doing all the right things, but like in my body, clearly I was not. And there was such a disconnect between the two of those that's what I believe like really snapped me back into reality. Like I could physically see it with my eyes and I could feel it inside of myself too. And then that, you know, like shifted things for me. And, you know, I had already done things that created other repercussions. And, you know, as I tell myself now, like it was such a blessing in disguise. Like, yes, was it traumatic having the fracture and being diagnosed and all that stuff? Absolutely was it traumatic. And it was also like the best thing that happened to me because of everything that I learned because of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like if I wouldn't have had that experience, I wouldn't have learned those things and I wouldn't be on the path that I'm on now. with that new and better information for me.
And I think that's so good because you didn't become a victim to your circumstances, right? We talk a lot about victim mentality and blaming others and the story that you tell yourself. And I'm sure it takes a big person to not like blame the podcast or become a victim to that situation. So how did that spiral you to make a career change and go down this path of being a success coach?
Yeah. So, you know, once the injury happened, I really focused my attention on like, how am I going to get well again? Like, what does that look like for me? Because a month or two before the injury, after I had done some training for the run, I remember coming back to my house and I was like, Kayla, like, this is not good for you. Like, even though it feels very healthy, what you're doing, like I could tell again, like it wasn't healthy. But at that time, my mindset was still really strong with wanting to do what I said I was going to do. So I did the run, had the incident. And then after the incident, I remember waking up in the hospital and it was like, okay, like here's the second time in less than a year that you've been like given the same lesson and you didn't listen. So you have to do something different, right? Like shame on another person. You could say the first time, but now shame on you this time. Mm-hmm. So everything went towards healing at that point in time. So I started to I'd say like seek out support that felt more in alignment with me. So that's when I hired a Czech coach to work with me on my recovery after my injury. That's when I went to PaleoFX, which eventually led me to meeting Mark and the entire Unlifted team. And it was starting to really transition my focus to something that was geared towards me as opposed to geared towards what the common person wants, right? Like mm-hmm. rather than looking outside, it was focusing the attention back on myself, if that makes sense. So all of that attention was really internal as opposed to external stimulation.
Yeah. And that is hard, especially I know there's so much just out there and so much information. And we think, oh, well, everyone's doing this and they're having success. But yeah, everyone's doing it, but that doesn't mean it's good for everyone, right? They're just trying because they don't know what else to do and they think it's the best thing to do. So yeah, that's hard.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's one of the most important journeys I think that we can go is, you know, one of the quotes is like the longest journey a person's ever going to take is from their head to their heart. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such a profound quote because we can always think our way out of a situation. We can always tell ourselves something different, right? Or create a different story. But until you look internally with yourself, that's when you're going to start to identify like a path that's better for you as opposed to what everyone else is saying. And that's, you know, how I got started with Unlifted, what was just like on my health journey. Like that was the next thing that was presented to me. And then once I started doing that work, it just seemed like the next natural fit for me to leave the teaching space in the regards of working with my students in my classroom and then work towards helping other people improve their lives by finding their success and finding the next best thing for them, whatever that is, taking away all that external stimulation like I had done for myself and then really bringing the focus back to myself internally and helping other people do the same. Because I think, like you said, one of you said earlier, there's so much of an outward focus when you go to social media or you look in the aisle at the grocery store. Everything is externally stimulated and it can be very difficult to go internally when it's very different from what you see and hear and it feels uncomfortable, you know, around right. friends or family to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get so much influence from your friends and family and it's hard too. And I have this conversation with a lot of my clients. I work with a lot of high level nurses sometimes, and they're not necessarily happy in their career, right? And they are the hardest ones to get the weight off of because they're so unhappy in the life that they're living. And so I think what you're doing and working with people as a success coach is really important because a lot of times you can't really get healthy until you're happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true because, you know, you're going to find other means to create your happiness that sometimes does revolve around food or revolves around other things that are holding the stress into your body as opposed to releasing that stress and releasing the weight or however you want to picture it. You know, there's, we think, I don't think a lot of people recognize that stress accumulates within the body, right? Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't just like probably one thing that I was doing fasting that was creating all this additional stress in my life. There were other choices I'm sure that I was making, or that anyone's making, that's creating that accumulation of stress. And eventually, if we don't have a valve to release some of that stress, it's going to continue to build up and it's going to overflow until you find a way to release it in a way that's helpful for you. But a lot of people don't realize that their stress is accumulating within them because they get so accustomed to it. Like, we're accustomed to the long days. We're accustomed to eating a certain way. We're accustomed to being treated a certain way by certain individuals. And we just get used to it. So nothing seems different until you have some type of a crisis like I had that really becomes your trajectory to do something different if you're willing to lean into something different. But that can be really scary too if you have a lot of people around you and they're feeling sorry for you, or, you know, and they have the best of intentions to help you. But sometimes those well-meaning intentions can also pull us away from actually what's our best next step, because mm-hmm. those people are continuing the patterns that were helpful for them, but that aren't necessarily helpful for you.
Right.
Yeah. And I see a pattern in a lot of people where they wait for that crisis to make a change.
No, that's true. We see it a lot. So when someone comes to you as a success coach, like, walk me through that process. So what all are you doing with someone, and what kind of people typically come to you? What are they looking for, et cetera?
Yep, great question. So a lot of the individuals that I serve are usually individuals that they take care of other people, for like lack of a better word. Like, they're individuals that make sure everything's okay with everybody else. And they kind of like run the household, they run the ship, and they take care of everyone else to make sure that their needs are met. But then they don't have an opportunity to have someone else do the same thing for them. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that can make them feel kind of lonely, or make them feel just overwhelmed with lack of support. And a lot of those individuals are looking, you know, the success that they're looking for is very different. It's typically around some area of their life that they want to grow and change and evolve in, whether it's work-related or personal-related. And what I do with those individuals is I take them through a 5-step process. And the first step of the process is really identifying, like, what do you want? Like, what's your goal that you want to move towards? And once we have that clear picture of their vision, then we're able to move on to the next step, which is really building a healthy foundation with healthy, holistic habits that are going to create that supportive groundwork for you to move forward in a way that's sustainable, in a way that will allow you to progress towards your desired state. Mm-hmm. Once we get that foundation built, then we go through what's actually like the problem that's been holding you back. And a lot of that's the story work that you guys know through the Unlifted Sphere. Mm-hmm. Once we work through a lot of those stories, then we're able to move into the solution. And the solution is really about creating your new identity. So we identify what the vision is. We know where you want to go. You now have a very solid foundation to help you get there. We've worked out some of the muck that's been holding you back. Now you can create that new vision for yourself, and really step into that new identity that you want to create with having less of that weight on your shoulders. And then once you have less of that weight on your shoulders, then it's really about taking action and doing some of the things that you've been wanting to do, or doing some of the things that are important to you as you move forward. And then as the person continues to move through that cycle, they're going to continue to move through it as they go towards more goals, right? Because whenever you mm-hmm. want to achieve something new, you're going to have new things that come up with you based off of how you perceive yourself, internally or externally. And then we just keep repeating that cycle as they're moving towards their next goal or phase. And a lot of these individuals, like I said, are working specifically on like their own personal goals. And then some people, I have a background in curriculum. So I've done curriculum writing and helping individuals with content for their course creation, et cetera, as they're creating that as well.
Yeah, that's neat. Do you find a lot of people that come to you because they're so used to putting themselves kind of on the back burner that they don't really know what they want? Like, it takes them a bit to like have to sit and think, well, geez, what do I really want? Like, they know they want something. They know they want more and that their life isn't fulfilling, but they just don't know what.
Yes. I think there's a lot of individuals that struggle to identify what that next thing is for them. And I think it's due to a lack of asking that question to everyone else and not having it reflected back to you, right? And I think that part of them has been telling themselves for a period of time that what they want is for everyone else to be happier, people to be safe, or, you know, whatever it is for other people. But they've never thought about putting themselves in that sentence themselves, like, what do I want, as opposed to what do I want for everybody else? Right. And that can be actually really uncomfortable, right? It's a completely different way to perceive yourself. I think a lot of people suddenly feel selfish and mm-hmm. No, I'm supposed to be helping all these other people. I'm supposed to be doing something for them. That's what I've been doing for all these years. It's comfortable for me to take a back seat, as opposed to, no, like, actually, like, this is what I want and this is what's important to me. And stating that out loud and being clear with it can be very uncomfortable because it's so different from what they're used to doing. And how will people perceive me if I do this thing? And I'm used to playing small and all these various thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that goes a lot into people's finances too, right? Like, I had a mom yesterday tell me that, well, my daughter has to get braces. So I don't have a problem with spending $400 on a month for her to get braces, but there's no way I'm spending $100 a month on myself to make myself.
We see that all the time that women, even in talking to us, they're just not willing to invest in themselves. And they'll even say things like, I can't imagine, doing this for myself, or my kid is in this, or we need to do this or this. And it's never about them. They've never given themselves the opportunity.
Whether it's time, financially, whatever, they're putting everyone first before themselves. And the thought of putting themselves before their husband or their child or, sometimes their deck that they're building is mind-blowing to them.
Yeah, and you can look at like how that mindset is so perpetuated by society. Like what mom is seen, in my opinion, the mom that's seen as being the good mom in society is the one who puts her children first before herself. Mm-hmm. And then the mom that puts themselves first, people will say like, oh, she's selfish. She's going on a trip with her girlfriends or, and it's like, no, like she actually should go and spend time with her girlfriends, and do something, mm-hmm. a little weekend getaway. How is that suddenly selfish for her to do something like that when you would encourage it when she was younger? But suddenly, since she has kids now, she isn't able to do those things that keep her as an individual full and well. And yes, it, of course, has something to do with her children as well. But we also have to make sure that we ourselves are healthy before we can even take care of somebody else. And sometimes it's just little things as having time with your girlfriends or signing up for a course or doing something that you're passionate about that can, create that difference between happiness and unhappiness.
Yeah. I think it's a good point too when you said that it's uncomfortable. And I think sometimes even when with us, I guess that was eye-opening for me because I don't think I've thought of it that way, but because they're uncomfortable, because they're not used to doing that, then that's why they're not taking that step, right? It's easy to be like, oh, well, why won't they just, but they're not used to it. So they could be fearful. It's uncomfortable. People don't like uncomfortable. So cool. That makes a lot of sense.
They don't like being uncomfortable. They don't like people judging them. Like, well, I'm going to look like a bad mom if I do this, or I'm going to look like a bad wife or a bad employee or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, that really goes back to that external versus internal, right? They worry about the external judgment, right? We all worry about that to some extent, but more of the focus on the external judgment that they're going to receive rather than the internal, help and support that they're going to receive by nourishing themselves in a different way. And I think it's just very common for a lot of individuals to keep doing what they're used to doing simply because it's comfortable. And I know what I'm going to get if I keep doing this. If I do something different, that's kind of scary. Like, what if I change? Or, what if I decide I don't like this? Am I going to feel strong enough to do something different? Or am I going to continue doing the same thing just because that's what I've always done?
Yeah.
But what's the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you expect change in your health or your happiness or your career if you're going to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result? Like, there is no different result. You're on this, you're going to get the same result that you have now.
Well, and if you look at what a lot of people, what society to some extent gravitates towards is that instant gratification. And, to think that I'm going to, okay, I'll back up. A lot of times I work with individuals for 12 weeks and sometimes longer. At the end of 12 weeks, a client will think that they should have completely changed and a whole 180 change at the end of 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult conversation for them to hear when I remind them, like, you didn't get this way in 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, and if you didn't get this way in 12 weeks, it's going to take longer to change some of those things. Does that mean that progress has not been made? Of course not. Like, you've made tons of progress forward, but you can't expect to make an entire 180 shift in a short period of time when you've been repeating patterns for the last 5 years or 10 years or decade, you know, like whatever that may be. It's those small sustainable changes that you repeat over time that's going to get you to your desired result. And it's not going to be doing something different for 12 weeks is going to suddenly miraculously make everything different in your life. You know, and that's a difficult conversation, a difficult comment for them to hear, because I think people expect, like, if I do this for this certain amount of time, it's going to fix everything, you know, and that's not the case.
Yeah. Our minimum commitment for our program is 6 months. And people are like, I don't want to commit for 6 months. I'm like, you can't get healthy in 3 months. Like, I can't
be healthy for a lifetime, or
right?
6 months, like, isn't that long for a lifetime, you know?
You can't reverse all these. You can't reverse 40 years of living unhealthy in 2 weeks or 3 months. Really, not even 6 months. Like, if I'm being realistic, and so people do have a lot of instant gratification and unrealistic expectations. Even in, like, even when I practice medicine, oh, you're going to give me this. If I happen to prescribe a medicine, you're going to give me this medicine, I'm going to instantly feel better. Like, no, it doesn't work like that. It takes time. Like, it takes time for everything. But we live in such this world of instant gratification, right? Like, you can buy something and it's at your doorstep the next day. Why the heck couldn't you sign up for a program and get results the next day? Why doesn't it work like that?
Yeah. And I think that shows, you know, the different type of individual that you're looking to work with, right? Like, I think about that for myself, is the individuals that I work with are the individuals that understand it's a process.
Right.
And it's not a short-term journey that we're on. It's a process that we're going through to evolve and grow and change. And that's why, like, the success circle continues, right? Even after those 12 weeks, you're going to continue going through all those same processes. Just as you get better with your health, you're going to continue to make evolutions with that. Every time that you learn something a little bit better and you practice it a little bit longer and you see what feels better for your body. And as you go through the various stages of your life as a woman, right? Like, you're going to have very different needs when you're in your 20s versus your 30s, 40s, and 50s. And that's that constant evolution that we're part of, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, right? Like, we can attempt to do the same thing and it's not going to feel good in us, or we can, you know, move with the flow of life and allow that constant evolution to happen.
Right.
So how are you getting people to make this mindset shift, to be open to it? I think that's the hardest part.
And I do a lot of, when I first meet with an individual and talk with them, you know, one of my most important steps is to make sure that we're a good fit for one another.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, really resonating with that individual and allowing them to understand the process is key for me. Because if they're willing to participate in the process, then we're going to be a great fit for one another. And if you're looking for something that's going to happen more overnight, then I would strongly encourage you to go find, you know, someone else, because there is somebody else that can help you if that's what you're looking for. And for me, it's really just having those initial conversations before I even agree to work with an individual, is making sure that we're the right fit in order to create a happier relationship moving forward, and making sure that everyone is aware of what can be achieved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really underestimated in the coaching world. Mm-hmm. People think that, oh, I have all the options and I can work with whoever I want to, and I can, you know, how many times do we get Shauna that have tried every single thing and they've not had any results, and they've not taken the inside work to be like, ooh, maybe it's me. Like, maybe I'm the one that's not open to change. And then maybe you're not a good fit to work with us, right? Like, we've had to tell people on calls before too, like, if you're not willing to look at yourself and make changes to your nutrition and your mindset and your habits, and then you're not going to get results, and we don't want to work with you because it's going to be a waste of your time and our time both.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the important piece of that, is just being really upfront with an individual, mm-hmm. and having them and making sure that it's a really good connection between the two. to alleviate any of those incongruities that can happen.
Yeah. Super good conversation. So where can people find you at? How can they connect with you? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So they can find me at KaylaBeckerSuccessCoach.com. If you go to that website, you'll see a quick little snippet of me explaining the 5 process that I take individuals through. And then some testimonial videos are below that you can watch as well. And then if you're interested in scheduling a call to chat with me, you can book in from there and we can see for a good fit.
Awesome.
And so we'll have that below too.
Yeah. So we have 2 questions that we wrap up with everyone. Ooh. So the first one is just what advice would you want to give our listeners, knowing that it's mostly females looking to get healthy? What's your piece of advice to them?
My piece of advice to them is to remember that you're in the flow of life, and that flow is going to change day by day, week by week, where you're at in your cycle, and becoming more comfortable with allowing yourself to be in the flow is going to create a lot better life for you in many ways.
Yeah. I love give that. Yourself that permission to grow, because we're always growing and evolving.
100%.
And next, so Kayla, if you were going to be any Disney princess, which Disney princess would you be?
Ooh. I would be Cinderella.
Oh, okay. Why?
Cinderella was my favorite growing up. And she just seems so magical.
Yeah. I've said this a couple of times, but it amazes me. Every time I ask, nobody thinks I'm weird. They're all just like, oh, like, this is such a great question. Not like they're not caught off guard. It's like, it's just a normal conversation about Disney princesses. So thank you. That's very cool.
Well, what women has not thought about what Disney princess they want to be? Come on.
Yeah, but nobody's ever asked me that. Hmm. Yeah. Everybody's just...
No. What Disney princess would you be?
Oh, well, they have now, but I wanted to be Jasmine, but nobody... I wasn't Jasmine, so who was I?
I wanted to be Jasmine, but I wasn't.
See, I can't even take my own Disney princess. I'm just people pleasing even my Disney princess. I don't remember who I was. Maybe I was Cinderella too, because I had blonde hair.
I don't remember what you said.
Yeah, but this was super great, and we really appreciate having you on. And like I said earlier, we're going to link all of Kayla's info below, where you can find her, how you can reach out to her, and all that good stuff. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating and a kind review, because that helps us a ton. And we will catch you next week. See ya.
Bye, ladies. Thanks.